Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Great. So, Anne, you've been writing for a while. You're not brand new, which I think is great. What have you learned that you do different now than you used to do? Or what are some things that have changed that you're looking at different or however in the whole publishing writing thing?
Well, biggest thing that changes, it used to be yearly, but now it seems like every 6 months is marketing and the way I market, which is unfortunately, marketing is a huge part of this business. I mean, if you want to make money at this, you have to learn how to do some of the marketing things. And you can adjust it to your own style. So it doesn't, you know, maybe I'm on, you know, social media more than you feel comfortable. That's fine. But you've got to find another way to get yourself out there and be heard above all the noise. And I don't mean just other books and other authors. I mean television. Like we were talking, there's so many different options now that you can sit in front of the TV and just go away for days and days and days. How do I get them to look away from the TV and read my books and give that a try or listen? Because I am on audio for all of my books as well. So marketing is so important. And I can tell you back, like I told you in earlier in 2011, I did the Kindle Unlimited free and it went huge, way bigger than it does now. But that's because it was new and not a lot of authors were doing it yet. The market wasn't as saturated. I can't even remember how many books now you are on Amazon. It's millions.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right?
Yeah. And back then, I think there was, when I started, it was like 800,000 books were on Amazon. So it was much easier to be heard, you know, and seen and get yourself out there. So that is something that it's constantly changing. And I have to rethink my plan every year on what I'm going to do. For example, Facebook, which was so big for so long, is really starting to fade. And I can see it. I can feel it. And I know, you know, Instagram's has some people, but that's even, you know, TikTok is now the thing. And if you're 20 or 15, like my kids and their teens, they just go, oh, yeah, just do this, do this, do this. But my old, getting the older brain just keeps going, what? So that's changed. And then my writing, over the years, you know, I've written, I think now 32 stories that I have published. And I don't want to ever have someone come up to me and say, that book felt the exact same as the one before it and the one before it. I don't want them to feel like, what are you doing? You know, you're not even trying anything new anymore. So one of the things that I really work on with every story, even novellas, I wish I could just sit down and, you know, put out a story really quick, but I have to have a theme. There has to be a reason. There has to be something behind the story that makes it, you know, why my brain even wants to tell it. And so I've really worked over especially the last 5 years on learning different ways to build the structure of a story. You know, writers know you've got a skeleton behind it all that you're building and how you do that. So I've worked with different themes. I've tried different pacing things for different books. For example, book 9 of my Deadwood mystery series is called Gone Haunting. And that one is a lot of action. Most of that story is an action novel. I mean, it's just constant. Rum, rum, rum. I give you a few breaks here and there to catch your breath, but we're just action, action, action. So, you know, I look at my whole series and I go, okay, we really had a lot of action here and we had some here. Now let's, you know, I make it a roller coaster ride, basically. And I didn't used to ever think of it that way. But now I think of every book as a coaster or, you know, a ride. And then how does it fit into the overall series ride? Because we have bingers now, which is wonderful, that they'll write me and say, I picked up your first book 2 weeks ago and I've read all 12 now. What else you got? And so when somebody reads them like that, they're getting the full roller coaster effect on what I've done. So I pay a lot more attention to the overall series and structure than I used to back in the beginning. That's definitely for sure. Then I always thought it was like a fire hose. I was just like trying to hold it, you know, as I wrote. Now it's much more controlled with what I'm doing, you know. So that's changed as well as the marketing.
I love that you said that. And I know I've got new authors listening. And I think one of the problems, not problems per se, but when you're a new author and you're struggling to get out, oh my gosh, you're getting overwhelmed with information. And now we've probably got somebody out there going, oh my gosh, I've got to think about one book being more action, one book being more comedy. And their probably brain is blowing up. But what you said, though, is that's not what you were worried about at the beginning. It's not until you had some books that you had a few written that you could settle down and start focusing on that. So you had to start with just getting a story done and getting it out.
Right. Right. It, all those first books, I look at them and sometimes I think I could do a lot more. I could go back and tweak them and play with them. But I've heard time and again from other authors, don't touch your first book once it's out and if it's done well, because that's what it was. That's what you were at that time. And it's fresh and it's exciting. And if you go back and start tweaking it and trying to play with it because you think you're such a better author now, you, a lot of times you might ruin that spark that it had that, you know, helped it to do so well or to be so fresh and new. So yeah, I do hope with every book that I improve. And my mom does tell me, I don't know how, she says it's so nice too. She goes, I don't know how you're doing it, or even if you even know you're doing it, but every book you keep getting better. And I just can't believe you do it. I'm like, I think there's a compliment in there somewhere.
Thank you.
Right. But really for newer authors, one of my things with marketing and writing is don't look at the big picture. You can get an idea, but you really need to start and you need to focus on one thing at a time. And I think of it as, so my dig site series is set down in the Maya, you know, historic, all that archaeology area. And I think of this as I'm building my own Maya city, you know, and so it's one temple at a time. And then I add temples to my site and I keep expanding my world that way. I didn't do it all at once. I did one temple at a time, one thing at a time, and built it up. Same with marketing. I didn't, you know, I'm on all these different platforms. I didn't do that all at once. It was one. And then I got that going. And then a friend of mine used to call it plate spinning. She said I was plate spinning all the time. So I get one plate spinning, you know, and then you get another one and you're spinning that one and you're spinning them all and you keep spinning. The key is just to get one spinning and then get the next spinning. And then it's easier once you've got it going, you can keep it going, but you have to get the first one going. And if you go too, in my opinion, if you spread too wide and you try too much at once, it's overwhelming and it's you self-defeat. I mean, you just feel like I can't do anything right. Cause if you put your energy too wide, you can't build one thing really nice and big, but that's just me. That's the way my brain works.
And I think that's actually the best advice and the best way to do it. That too many authors, I think, get overwhelmed. And I was that way too, until I realized, wait a second, I'm with all these other new authors. Everybody feels overwhelmed and nobody's getting anything out. Maybe that's the key right there. So I don't.
Right. Feel right. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things when I do, I've done a lot of workshops over time, and talks. And one of the things that I like to emphasize, and I struggle with this myself, is to focus on your own journey. Don't look at the guy next to you or the woman, the author next to you, who's maybe won this or getting this notice or having this happen to him, and let that jealousy eat you up, because that's not your journey. Your journey is here, and there's going to be some wonderful things to come your way, but you have to take your own journey. And like I said, I struggle with that. I mean, I look at someone else who just hit a big, you know, hit the big list on that. And oh my gosh, look at them. Oh, why can't I have that? But then I have to go, you know what? That's what they're doing. And maybe I can see some of the marketing things they're doing and try to emulate them in my own way, but I cannot copy their journey exactly.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's really important to find the joy in your own journey. Otherwise, you're going to forever be unsatisfied with this whole gig.
Totally agree. I love that. I'm going to probably make that the sound clip right there. So let's talk about that for a second, because like I said, you are unique. How did you get on the USA bestseller list?
Well, that book was the fourth book in my Deadly Mystery series.
Not your first. It was your fourth book. So I just pointed that out.
Yes. No, Nearly Departed, which is the first that I put out there, the first in the Deadwood Mystery Series. That one won two big awards before, right out of the gate, before it was published. It won the Daphne du Maurier, which is a mystery award. And then it won the Romantic Writers of America big for an unpublished author, the Golden Heart. Both of those shocked me. I mean, because I have a mixed genre story of a mix of mystery and romance. So for each one, I'm in a mystery contest. I'm in a romance contest. And I thought each time there's no way this sucker's going to win. I went to the Daphne du Maurier Awards. It was down in Florida at the time, and I was in Seattle. So I said, all right, let's go. But I didn't write a thank you speech or anything because I kept telling my friend, I'm not going to win. You know, I'm going to go, I'm going to see what it's like, but I'm not going to win. And it not only won the category, it won the overall. And I was like, I didn't have a speech. I forgot so many people when I had to stand up there and thank everyone. It was just, holy cow. So shortly thereafter was the big Romance Writers of America award ceremony that was in New York City. And I had little baby, you know, babies, and I wasn't going to go to something where I knew I wasn't going to win because it's a romance, you know, and my book has romance, but it's not a romance. And then my friend, I did send a speech with a friend who was going to it, and she got up there for me and gave my speech while I was folding underwear. So, you know,
that's what I love about talking to authors and this podcast. I'm not talking to people that are in high rises and gilded mansions. You won a big award and you were folding underwear. That sums it up right there.
I will remember that forever. I'm folding these stupid underwear, and I'm looking at the text going, no, I should have been there. Oh my God. So it won these two big awards. It got all kinds of attention. And we put that one out, we put the second one out, and we put the third one out, and we used some of the marketing stuff that was then, like I said, there was Kindle Free. There were all these things we used to build the series. And when book four came out, it hit big. But what happened then, it was about 6 months after it came out or so, I was getting ready to put book five out. So I dropped the price of, Better Off Dead, book four, to 99 cents. And I put it out and I landed a BookBub. And it went so big. I was shocked. It made it within the top five in all of Amazon at 99 cents. And back then that was something. And it hit. And okay, so here's another funny. So I didn't know it was on the USA Today bestseller list. I had no idea. And I didn't know that for 2 years. And it was 2 years later, I was going with a BookBub ad and I got another. And I've had wonderful, BookBub has been kind to me over the years. They pick up my books. But they did one and they put it out and I looked at their copy they wrote and it said, USA Today bestseller, Ann Charles, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, crap. Do I need to tell them they've got that wrong? They must have me confused with someone else. And I let that one go. I talked to my friend. She goes, don't piss off BookBub. Let him go. So we let it go. So I got another BookBub like 2 months later and they did it again. And I said, I've got to tell them. This can't keep going on. It makes me feel bad, you know? So, but then in the meantime, my friend goes, wait, let me talk to this other friend that she keeps track of the lists. So she did. And that friend sends me back the screenshot from 2 years prior when it was there. And I was like, oh, for 2 years I've been a USA Today bestseller and I had no idea.
Wow.
I just was clueless. And that's just how much of my journey has been amazing things like that, that I have my head in the sand. I'm, like I said, I'm raising kids. I'm trying to, you know, write books and keep going and interact with fans. And I don't always pay attention to everything else going out there. And another example is, this was really fun. So I'm working, this is when I still had my day job and was writing at night. And my mom calls me at work and she goes, "Hey, you're on Jeopardy." And I said, "No, I'm at work." She goes, "No, you're on Jeopardy." And I she's an hour behind me in time zones. And she goes, "My friends from the East Coast said you're on Jeopardy." And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." It was like, "Have you taken your meds? What's going on?" And she goes, "No, you don't understand. You're a question on Jeopardy." I said, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, it's something about the Deadwood series." And so she goes, "All my friends back east in New York are calling me saying your daughter's on Jeopardy." So by gosh, we went home and everybody in West Coast knew that I knew was like, "Get on, watch Jeopardy tonight." And sure enough, I was on Jeopardy. And it's a question that it's something about Anne Charles writes creepy story set in this morbid sounding city. And it was, "What is Deadwood?" And the good thing is, which may sound bad, it was the big stars. Lewis Black was on there and some of these big name stars, and they didn't know the answer. And so you might think that's a bad thing. But remember, if you don't know the answer, it just sits there on the screen for like longer. 10 seconds. So I got 10 seconds of prime time advertising when nobody knew the answer. And nice. I was like, so that was nothing I did. I had so many authors at this point say, "How did you do it? How did you get on Jeopardy?" And I said, "I didn't do anything. It just all timed out." And somebody must have been traveling through Deadwood, South Dakota and seen a book. I don't know. So, you know, that's where I say your journey is your journey. Open yourself to opportunities. Yes. And that's what I try to do. Just be open to all kinds of opportunities. And I don't mean like just with the universe, like I'm open. More, I try for this. I put my name in here. I do this. I do this. I put myself all over the place. And then sometimes things come to you and it works out really well for you. So that's
totally agree.
Just keep trying, you know, and put yourself out there. And if it doesn't work, don't beat yourself up and give up. You just keep trying and trying. That's what I do. And I stumble into these wonderful things and I'm like, "Oh, that went big. Woohoo."
2 years later, you're like, "Whoa,
Yeah, right. I know. So then we're changing everything. We got to change all our marketing. Anne Charles, instead of multiple award winning.
How did that change? Because obviously you didn't know. You were still putting books out and they were probably doing well. But suddenly you find out I was a USA bestseller. What changed with your marketing, but did it change your writing any?
No, the writing, because I'm always start a story with, "I don't know if I can do this again. This is hard. I don't think I can pull this off." And my husband will tell you every book starts that way. And he'll calmly say, "You said this last time and you did it then, you can do it again." So what really changed was it opened up more doors and more opportunities, because sometimes things like that will make people go, wait, what? You're an indie and you know, you're a USA Today bestseller. That's not, there's many of us. I know many indies that are USA Today best, but we all grew up in that same, we've all been doing it for 10 years, you know? So it's not like we just jumped out, those of them I know, and said, "Oh, here we are. We made it." It was years of building up readership, building up, you know, fans and finding them and continuing to grow your world. And putting product out, putting good product out, and then finding new fans. And I like to think of them, boy, I'm giving you guys tons of different metaphors and stuff and ways, but I think very visually. So I like to think of their fishing ponds. You know, Amazon's a big ocean. That's a big, you can fish big there. But you want to have different ponds that you fish in. And sometimes you don't touch a certain pond for a while. For example, I'm in Apple with most of my books. I'm out there on Apple, but I haven't marketed hard on Apple. I haven't done a lot to push Apple, and I'm leaving that pond go for a future fishing expedition when I will put money into ads and I will work harder over there to find more Apple readers. But for now, I just keep putting books out there and let them float in that pond. So try to think of that, you know, different possibilities for you. Don't attack everything all at once. It's little by little with every part of this business. And I have so much to grow. I am always growing and busy and building. And I've been doing this for over 10 years now. So nice. It's a long road.
And we were talking about authors getting overwhelmed. That's, you know, even now you've still got the same things. You still have to sit down. You still have to write. You still have to do the marketing. You still have to get good stories and write them well. You know, it's right. Not like, well, a USA bestseller. Now I'm done.
I wish.
Right.
I wish I could go buy that island in the Caribbean, right?
Right, no, right.
Nothing like that.
You got Patterson and King and then Anne Charles. That'd be the island.
Yeah, exactly. Little tiny Anne. But, you know, it's the same. I did a workshop recently for the South Dakota Festival of Books, and it was called Climbing Book Mountains, and it sounds really silly. But I had gotten into this rabbit hole of watching all these climbing shows, like about Everett and K2 and or Everest, sorry, K2 and Annapurna. So I started realizing, oh, that's a lot like what we do writing a book. You know, we have to start at base camp. We have to go up and down the mountain. And then once we hit the peak and we summit, we're only halfway there. I mean, that's just getting through the first draft. Now you got to go back and clean it up and go through the editing runs and go through all the work to put the book out, the formatting, everything. So it's, you don't get back to base camp until that book is out and people are buying it. And then you're back at base camp kind of recuperating. I mean, a lot of people make it to the summit and they finish that book, but they never really get editing. They don't go through the full thing it takes to get it fully out and right. Market it and get the readers. And it's that you watch these climbing shows, they'll say making it to the summit is just the beginning because people die coming down from the summit because they push too hard for the summit. Right. And they expended all their energy and then they die on the way down, they misstep or they just, their bodies are done. So it's that coming down that's so important with every book that a lot of authors don't want to do because you're tired. I finished that book. I don't want to read it 3 or 4 more times, but right. You have to, you know, to make it really good. So there's another, you know, metaphor kind of thing is climbing book mountains. But every book's a mountain. And sometimes they're easier, like Everest, where, you know, only 1 in 20 people die typically climbing that. And sometimes they're really technically hard, like a K2, where it's a lot of technical skill to write this particular story. And 1 in 4 people, you know, live to tell that or die doing that mountain. And then there's books like this little thing. See how little? This was Annapurna for me, which is where 1 in 3 people die because avalanches all are just everywhere on Annapurna and they kill people left and right. And this thing kept, it should have taken me a month at most. And it took me 2 because I just struggled, you know, and life came at me in all different ways. So yeah, book mountains.
Well, it's so all the authors are clear. We're not saying that authors actually die in the middle of writing.
No.
out of 4 authors died writing this story.
Metaphorically, they quit. How right, about that? Yeah, you quit. You just give up because it's too hard.
I'm going to use that metaphor about Everest because I know a lot of, and I've talked to a few, you know, they hit the summit and they got their book done and they put it out and they're like, "Woo, look at me." And it's like, okay, you know, there's no film crews here. Is when you get right. to the base camp that the film crew. So you have all that work to get back down and finish the book and market it before you get the film crews.
Exactly. And once you're done with that and you're back at base camp and you're drinking in celebration, the book's out, we've marketed all this good stuff. I'm always packing my bag and I'm looking at that next big mountain going, here we go again. I got to start climbing that thing because when you're an author, you have to keep writing. You have to keep putting out new product. I have, you know, all these books that people can read, but there's always, they want more. And so I just strap on the backpack and the everything that, you know, and I have to go climb another mountain. And I don't know when I start out, if it's going to be an easier one or if it's going to be another K2, you know, or whatever, but I have to go try it. And it's hard to summit. It's really hard. But then it's twice as hard to get back down again. And so, yeah, it sounds crazy, but if you're an author, you get it. I mean, right. If you've done that, you know, gone to the top and back of putting a book out, you really get it, how much work there is into that and the whole thing. Yep.
Well, Anne, we've been going quite a while and I appreciate all of your advice and everything you've said. I was very excited. I'm glad you took some time to chat with me today. But before we go, let you go. So we're getting ready for our holiday. Do you have any last minute advice for new authors? Besides everything we've already talked about.
Well, one of the biggest things I always, you know, when it comes to interacting with readers, you might have a book that wins all kinds of awards. You might have done really well and sold a lot of books, you know, of that particular one. But when you talk to readers, when you meet with people that read your books, I think it's so important to just be yourself, stay humble, remember that without a reader, you're nothing. You're just telling crazy tales into the wind. You have to have a reader to make it a complete, to be a couple, to make this a success. And if you treat your readers as you would, it doesn't mean you have to have them over for dinner, but treat them well. You know, be respectful that they took the time to write to you, that they took the time out of their life to say hello and how much they enjoy your story. That's huge. That's, I consider that such an important contact, email or whatever. And I always try to thank them for taking the time to write to me because they don't have to. So I guess in the end, it's just stay humble. Remember where you started. And I think if you get caught up in the egos and stuff like that, this can go really south. You've seen authors get in fights with readers online, authors get in fight with other authors. It's a small world. People know, everybody knows everybody, I swear, in this world. Just be kind, be humble. If you want to cuss and swear at somebody, do it when there's no mic and there's nobody else there. Go in the bathroom, at home, close the door and do it. But just try to be kind. It'll get you so much further in this business, I think, if you help lift others up rather than try to step on them to go to the top. That's my opinion. Others might disagree, but I think so much of the success I've had is because other people have helped me and we help each other and it's made a difference.
Nice. Great. I appreciate that. Wonderful. Well, Anne, thank you very much for being on. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me on. This has been great. We've had some good laughs and I got a book to listen to and I've got a books to read now, thanks to you, which like you, I have a mountain pile. So we'll put another book on that.
Well, I've added several of your books to my list. I pre-ordered the Christmas one because I was looking for a good Christmas story that I hadn't read already. I mean, I always do Christmas Carol, but I already read that this year, this past week. So I needed some new Christmas material. So I'm looking forward to it on Friday.
All right. Well, I hope you're talking about Jackrabbit Jingle Balls, right?
Yeah.
We start out real exciting. So get ready for the ride.
Great. I think my wife will enjoy it. So.
Oh, good. All right. Great. Well, thanks for having me. This has been really great.
Thanks. You have a great day, Anne.
All right. You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.